ॐ शुक्लाम् भरधरम् विष्णुम् शशिवर्णम् चतुर्भुजम् प्रसन्नवदनम् ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ We have done up to Nama number 856. The 856th Nama is Vayu Vahanaha, the mover of winds. Out of the fear of Brahman or Vishnu, the Vayu functions, the fans. Our life is sustained by Vayu. But that Vayu per se is insentient. It doesn't have the capacity to make the human being live without it borrowing the capacity from Brahman. So, you know, when a person dies, the prana is gone. So we say life is gone. Prana sustains life, but prana gets the ability to sustain life because it is borrowing the capacity from divinity. So the capacity which the prana has itself is borrowed. So the original source is Brahman. That's what it means. Vayu Vahanaha. And everything that we do is to somehow make this prana go on. So instead of worshipping Vayu, worship directly Brahman. Vishnu. Vishnu is the life sustaining principle in that sense. Next shloka. Danur dharo danur vedo dando damayita damaha aparajita sarvasaha niyanta niyamo yamaha danur dharo danur vedo dando damayita damaha aparajita sarvasaha niyanta niyamo yamaha danur daraha. Danur daraha, if you see the literal meaning, Danu means bow. Danuntaraha means one who wields the weapon bow, the wielder of the bow. So it could refer to Lord Rama, which is the avatara of Mahavishnu. So it could refer to Sri Rama, the incarnation. But also in the Mundaka Upanishad, the beautiful example of Danu is given. The word Danu or the bow is compared with womb. So the Mundaka Upanishad says, keeping the womb as the bow and the individual as the arrow. The individual who is the arrow should be placed in the womb, sharpened by the spiritual practices. When the arrow, the individual, who is sharpened by the spiritual practices, he becomes withdrawn in life. Withdrawn in life. Withdrawn means vairagya. So you keep the arrow on the bow, which is om. And then the arrow should be sharpened by the spiritual practices, values. And pull the string back, which indicates vairagya, focusing on the goal of liberation and release the arrow. This is called Danur Veda. This is the next nama. Danur Daraha, Danur Vedaha. 857, 858. So Danur Veda is what I spoke about just now. The knower of the science of archery is a literal meaning. But what it actually means is, the one who has given this knowledge of the self and self-realization, which is Brahman. From Brahman, the knowledge has come. That's why we say, this knowledge has come through a human personality, a sage maybe, but the sage was in the state of God consciousness when this knowledge passed through him. That personality becomes a medium. So we say this is not coming from individual, it has come from divinity itself. So the knowledge is flowing from Brahman. It has come from Brahman. When the individual dissolves the ego, merges with Brahman, then the divinity passes the knowledge through the personality. So Dhanur Veda, this knowledge, is called as Dhanur Veda, the knowledge of the self and self-realization. And one who is given it, one who knows it, one who knows how to give it, he is Vishnu. That is Dhanur Dharaha. So there is this deeper significance. So what Vedanta is talking about is, there are different goals. Four goals Vedanta talks about, every human being pursues. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. So one has to move beyond the limited goals of Artha, material wealth, Kama, the enjoyment, and Dharma, the values, and then go to the final goal of liberation. Having fixed that goal of liberation, you should place your personality in the mantra Om. But you will be able to place the personality in mantra Om only if you have sharpened the personality by practicing spiritual sadhana. It is very interesting. Just before we started today, Pooja talked about Om chanting. She said, you know, Om chanting, that in a particular way that she's been following, she's been doing, is giving her a lot of calming effect. So she just started it and we are studying this today. Dhanur Dharaha, Dhanur Vedaha. So, the individual personality who has sharpened through the spiritual sadhana, having attained some amount of vairagya, the arrow which is kept in Om will go and reach the destination which is liberation. So, in other words, you can't get into meditation without following sadhana. Without following sadhana and vairagya, one should not get into meditation. Meditation is the final gateway to liberation. But today what is happening is, everywhere meditation is being hawked. Yoga and meditation is hawked. And people just straight away go to meditation. But if you really want to achieve an ultimate goal through the process of meditation, then you have to follow this method. So Dhanur Dharaha, Dhanur Vedaha. Then danda. Danda means a rod. The rod of justice. That's what danda means. The scepter. The scepter which is there. Always with the kings in. So this scepter is what he's talking about, which is there with the Lord. So when you say Lord, Ishvara, Ishvara means one who controls all the laws. The controller of all the various laws in this world. So he rules this world through those laws. Just like you have physical laws, chemical laws, biological laws, psychological laws, etc. There is this law of karma. There are two laws we talk about. Law of karma and law of destiny. Law of destiny is, you are the product of the past. That is law of destiny. What you are today is due to the choices you had taken in the past. You are the product of the past. That is called law of destiny. Then law of karma. Law of karma is nothing but an extension of law of destiny. Law of karma says, you are the product of the past. At the same time, you are the producer of the future. You are both the product and producer. When you look at yourself from the point of view of the past, you are the product. When you look at yourself from the point of view of the future, you are the producer. So your destiny today was created by your choice. So if you make intelligent choices today, you can create your future. But it won't change immediately, but it can be changed in the due course. So this entire universe is governed by the Ishvara through various laws. So therefore, here this word danda. Danda means the rod of justice. One who punishes the wicked, rewards the virtuous, means what? Through their own karma, they are ruled. This law of karma is there. That is a danda. And that is always with the Lord. The Lord governs this universe with the danda. That's what it means. And damayita. Damayita means the subduer. The subduer of wicked beings. Or controller, like Yama, kings, etc. So in this whole thing he wants to say that he is the author of Vedas and he is that very knowledge. The author of Vedas is very Vedas and he is the ruler. He rules with the laws and that is also Lord only. The laws are also Lord. And he controls this entire universe with that laws only. Otherwise there will be chaos. Everyone who comes will have to go one day. Otherwise with the increase of population and nobody is dying, as it is the land cost is going on increasing and they are trying to see if few people can be sent to Mars, etc. Now just imagine, if the laws don't function, it will be big chaos here. So how meticulously, beautifully it functions. You know, the old withers away and the new comes out. This meticulously happens. Even this corona that we all went through is a very interesting perception that Swamiji gave for that in one lecture. The kind of atrocity the human beings are doing on nature and other species is unimaginable, you know, for satisfying our ego. Just to satisfy our ego, we do all kinds of nonsense. So, this nature brings out such a thing where the other species and nature can revive itself, you know. And that's what I was, it was beautifully brought out in that documentary which Shweta made me watch. I keep forgetting the name of the document. What is that name, Shweta?
The Year Earth Changed.
Ah, The Year Earth Changed. 2020, it should be years it's going on now also a little bit. You know, the corona has to be there a little bit so that we behave. Just 2 years ago it happened or 1 year ago it happened. But we have forgotten about it. We do all kinds of nonsense. Immediately we go back. We don't learn lessons from these things. But every now and then nature brings out such a thing to control, you know. So that very controller is Brahman. And he controls with that scepter. He is the damayita, the subduer. He'll make sure he will do all kinds of nonsense. That's what Bhagavad Gita says. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata vyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sridhamiya. Whenever the unrighteousness takes over the righteous, I manifest my, I manifest doesn't mean God has to manifest physically. Some form or the other, it comes and controls. It's very, very interesting. It cannot be left without addressing. It will be addressed. So actually, when we read these things, what we actually have to develop or will develop if you properly understand is humility. We think we are so important. Without us, nothing will happen. You know, We are doing so many things. We are achieving so many things. How can we keep quiet? We have to fight for this. We have to do this, that. Well, we have to fight for it. We'll have to do all that. But behind all that, we should understand that we are a very, 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 very small circle. Very, very small circle. So, with that understanding, we continue. We should continue. So, when he says, Damayita, Danda, Tanurdaraha, Tanurvedaha, all these things when you read, you understand that this personality, the reflected consciousness, RC, is nothing. Whereas, the pure consciousness is everything. That is what has become this universe. And the laws, everything, it manages. You are a part, like Gita says, you know. Nimitta matram bhavasavya sakshi, says Sri Krishna beautifully. As be an instrument in the hands of totality. Being an instrument, do what you are supposed to. So therefore, Dhamayita, the controller, one who controls the, one who punishes the vicious and helps the virtuous. You know, when he said, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya, the next shloka, what does he say? Paritranaya Sadhuna, Vinashaya Tadushkrita, Dharma Samstapanarthaya, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. Keep coming again and again. To protect the sattva, the sattvic people. Protect the sattva means the essence, the real, the truth. So, that is what he is talking about here. Dhamayita, the controller. One who regulates and cultivates everything. Otherwise, same thing will grow too much. So sometimes it happens, right? You elect any government and then when they become too much of corruption or too much of violence and too much of this thing and that thing, automatically over a period of time, they will be gone. The next election, nobody votes for them. Be gone. That's why you are not supposed to allow any of your victories or anything to get your head. You're supposed to serve. It's not a position. It's not a power. You are actually a servant, but unfortunately it gets to your head. When it gets to the head, then it's a problem. Then you do all kinds of nonsense, atrocity. Then you will be removed. A situation will come where you will be removed. It doesn't work that way. It may seem to be working for a while. Doesn't work for forever. It will be changed. So, Dhamayita, controller. Then, Dhamma. Dhamma means, Dhamma itself means punishment. The very punishment itself is here discussed as Vishnu. Dhamma also has the meaning of, sense control. But these punishments, when you look at it from a worldly angle, it looks like punishment. But are they really punishments? They are actually an opportunity for us to get reformed. God has no interest other than reforming and getting you back to Himself. Or herself or itself. So, the punishment, Dhamma, is Vishnu, the sense. It makes you reflect. You know, suddenly during Corona time, everybody was very reflective. Suddenly class strengths also increased. Lot more people signing in online. Unless it's convenient. Other is fear is there. And also your board do not know what to do sitting at home. Many reasons maybe. But it makes you think. Dukme simran sab kare. Sukme kare napo. So Dhamma means punishment itself. One of the meanings is punishment itself. But that it's not a punishment. It's a process of reforming a personality. It makes you go through thinking. In fact, a friend of mine, he is into this he's not fully into it, but he knows astrology and all. He's in fact very good in it. He lives here in Chennai. You know, Shani, everybody gets scared of Shani. And it comes for 2.5 years, 7.5 years and all that. So this, people get scared. He always says, Shani, if the period is there, means it's good for you. By giving you all the trouble, he wants to make you reflect and turn spiritual. That is exactly what he's saying here. Damaha. The punishment. So these punishments are only for reforming yourself. Not for any other purpose. So even in the world, you know, when the mother punishes the child, but if it is done with love, the child understands. Otherwise also the child understands. It's the ego. You know? So the punishment is to reform. Those who deserve, he punishes. Not everyone. Swami Chinmayanandaji says, Dhamma is that which is the ultimate gain a person gets through the worldly punishments. The final experience of beatitude in the self. It shapes you. No? Like they beat the dove and then finally they can shape it up. Shweta knows about it. She makes all this pottery and all that. So you know, like that the world kind of molds all of us. Finally, after all the nonsense, when you are in ICU or in the deathbed, you will understand. You will say, what? All I did for what? All these things that we do, finally for what we are doing? Does it have any meaning? Trying to get as much land as possible. We want more land. We go and occupy somebody else's land also. Or we put the compound little 2 feet away. And countries are also doing the same. Countries are also fighting for that only. For more land. Land bank. All this we are doing, you know. For what? Finally you will go under that land only. Whether you are buried or cremated, finally you go into that land only. And that small period, all nonsense we do. So when things go wrong, when we are punished, when we go through these things, it makes a lot of everyone think, yes, for what I am doing all this nonsense. So that's what he's saying. And when he's talking about all this, he says, Vishnu is aparajitaha. Aparajitaha means one who is unconquered. Is beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the intellect. Nothing can touch Vishnu. He controls everything, but nothing can touch, is invincible. One who cannot be defeated. So therefore, ultimately what will prevail is the truth. You can do whatever you want. That is what we learn from this Nama. You do all the nonsense you can do. But ultimately only truth will prevail. So why waste your time doing all that? You think you will get away? You cannot. Upar wala sab dekhra. You know, there is this advertisement that comes for video cameras. They show in the colleges, the ragging and all is going on. So the fellow who is getting ragged, sees the camera and he is so confident. And then they say, upar wala sab dekhra. Means, finally, after all this nonsense, you will only get defeated. You get tired. It seems like you are winning. You can never win. Why do all that? Might as well be with Dharma. You know, when you In the beginning we said, when you read, reflect on Vishnu Sahasranama, your mind becomes purified. So when you read this namas, humility comes, and abiding in truth, that quality also comes. So why unnecessarily do all this? There's a very interesting song, Carnatic music song. It's by Saint Tyagaraya. It says, Chakkani Raja Margamulundaga Sandulo Duralenara O Manasa. Means, it's a Telugu song. It means when there is a right royal path, Chakkani Raja Margamulundaga Sandulo Duralenara O Manasa. Why are you going into the by lanes? The straightforward way of living life is by sacrificing, by giving, by offering and receiving prasad and living in that prasad. Sattvic people, how do they live? They eat the remnants of sacrifice. Eat the remnants of sacrifice means this individual is a small circle, part of the big circle. So there are so many small circles. Each one have their roles to play. Play the role for the welfare of the total. And whatever comes as a reward from such a living, you enjoy, you live. This is how we are supposed to. This is the right royal path. But we won't do that. We will try to do this, that, unnecessarily poke into somebody else's life. What is going on in their lives? What is going on in this country? Try to conquer this, that. Finally, it boomerangs. So thinking that we are doing good for ourselves and for our future generation, we do all the nonsense for ourselves and for the future generation. This is what will happen. So, once you understand, you don't get into all that. You don't want to go into by lanes. It's a waste of time. It looks like it's a shortcut, but it's the longest route. Being unethical seems to be a shortcut, but it's the longest route. A wise person will understand that. Unwise thinks it's a shortcut. It's not the shortcut. It appears to be shortcut. So, you need that knowledge. When you are muddled by desires, you don't see it that way. You think, you know, shortcut is the best thing. Nobody has seen it. I can get in. No. Well, a wise person always knows by taking shortcut, I'm actually delaying it. By going by that route, which is the proper route, may seem like I'm delayed, but I am the right path. The confidence you need. So, aparajita means victorious. Finally, only truth will prevail. Nobody can touch it. You cannot conquer the self by trying to dominate, by submitting, by submission, you will be taken by the divinity and kept on the lap of the divinity. You try to fight, you will lose. But if you surrender like a child, you will be taken and kept on the lap. That's what he's trying to say. Spiritual path is not conquering. No. It's not a ego-driven intellect-planned achievement. The ego-driven intellect-planned achievements are all looking like glories and success, but they only give you agitation. So whereas the way to go about is by submission of the ego. That's what I said. When you go on chanting and reflecting on this namas that he's talking about in Vishnu Sahasranama, or for the matter, any Sahasranama, it's like giving a bath to the mind. So you become cleansed. When you go through this properly, you become cleansed. Then you do not want to conquer. You associate with that person who cannot be conquered. Join his group. Don't join the group of materialism. The group of materialism, the egoistic person thinks will give him protection. Therefore he joins that. But a wise person will join Aparajita. He will not join the material. So you, for a while, seem to be owning that much land or that much wealth or this and that. Finally what happens? You go into it. The ultimate owner is Brahman. You are only a trustee. You are not the owner. Never are we the owner. So when we have these kind of understanding and thinking, then we'll be peaceful. Otherwise we will not be peaceful. We'll be highly agitated. And that's what is happening. So therefore he says aparajita. Then sarvashah. Sarvashah means it's a very interesting nama. One who is adequate. No? One who is competent in all his actions. One who bears everything. One who carries this entire universe. Sarvashaha. Meaning he is the material cause with which this entire universe is made up. That's what it means. Sarvashaha. The material cause. That which bears everything. So when you understand this, you will simply, you know, leave all your burdens on the Lord. Yes. Not my responsibility. It is the responsibility of the Lord. My responsibility is to just do the action. You know, one of my colleagues, she is invited by some sports fraternity to give a talk. So she was talking to me about the challenges these people face. So what kind of challenges and what kind of you know, points we need to discuss to them. She was discussing with me. She said, when, like there are different groups, right? 11 to 14, then 15 to 19, then above 19. All of them are trying to become sportsmen. Some of them are already there, you know, top 10, top 5 in the, in India. So, the coach apparently said when the boys and girls are between 11 and 14, when they play, if they lose, are about to lose, they start crying. As the boys and girls become a little more mature, they may not cry. But what really bothers them is what if I fail? What if I don't get there? What if my ranking slip? They're constantly attached to the result. So when you understand this, you know, Sarvashaha, he is the one who is responsible, not us. He is supposed to just enjoy. And in fact, when you really enjoy, anybody can lose. Supposing both the players involved are enjoying the game, it will be a tough game. None of them will have to lose. But both of them will emerge victorious. That's how it should be played. But then, what if I fail? What I comes? This stupidity comes in our head because we don't understand. We think that we are responsible. There's so many factors. When you talk about the result, there are so many factors. Action alone, your responsibility. Result is not in your hands. So when you understand that, that's why he says sarvashaha, means it's a material cause with which this entire universe is made up of. He is the one who carries the entire universe, meaning he's a substratum. As per the laws, it happens. So there are karma, there are many things. So why bother about it? The moment we submit that and play the life game, each and every moment we'll be happy. In both success and failure, victory and defeat, honor, dishonor, we'll be happy. This knowledge says, honor, dishonor, victory, defeat, success, failure has no capacity to steal your happiness. They do not have the strength to steal your happiness from you. You are surrendering your happiness to them by attaching to them. That's what we need to understand. Per se, success, failure, victory, defeat, honor, dishonor, they have no capacity to steal your happiness. Because of our foolishness, our attachment, we allow them to steal their happiness. So how to be happy and then through both success and failure? Victory and defeat, honor, dishonor, censure, praise. That's what this knowledge talks about. So sarvashaha means one who bears the weight, one who is a substratum of the entire universe. The substratum of all the ornaments is gold. The substratum of all the ornaments is gold. The substratum of all the pots is clay. Similarly, the substratum of this entire universe is Vishnu. Sarvashaha. Now, you see in the verse here, aparajita sarvasaha, then niyanta, niyama, yama. These three namas are there. But the next three namas, due to the Sanskrit rules, in some books, it's called aniyanta. Like in the book that I gave you, I think it's given as niyanta. It can be read. Sandhi rules are there. I'm not getting into those Sanskrit rules to you to confuse you. Sarvasaha, when you say, then there is Dirga, then Niyanta. So some people call it as Aniyanta. In Chinmayanandaji's book, it's Aniyanta. Aniyanta means one who is not under the laws of anyone else. He himself is the law. He doesn't come under anybody's law. He is over and above all laws. Laws are only pertaining to the world. It doesn't control him. He is out of it. It's like he belongs to some other country. He doesn't affect it. He lives there. So aniyanta. Niyanta means one who appoints every person to his respective duties. You know, okay, Vayu Bhagavan, you go and take care of it. Vishnu, Varuna Bhagavan, you go and take care of this. Agni, take care of this. So like that, he is given responsibility to so many other powers. That's what niyanta means. So this 864, 865, 866 has different, some people say it's aniyanta, some people say it's niyanta. Adi Shankara says it's niyanta. Niyanta means the regulator of all in the respective functions. He's put the powers everywhere and he controls through them. Like, you know, the Prime Minister says, these are the ministries. And he or she will be the minister. Minister of State, minister of this, that, etc. So many ministers. So that's what niyanta means. You take the meaning as aniyanta, who has none above him to control him. Then again, similarly, 865 can be interpreted as aniyama or niyama. So aniyama means the unrestrained. Niyama means the restrained. One who restrains the evil. That's what niyama means. No? Yama, niyama, we say. Yama, niyama means one who controls. What all you are supposed to do, what you are not supposed to do. Restraints. Aniyama means he himself is unrestrained. The very rules, but he is also beyond rules. He knows no restraint, being himself the restrainer of all. That is the meaning. He himself is the restrainer of all. Being the restrainer of all, he knows no restraint. Nobody can restrain him. Nothing physical, emotional, intellectual can restrain the self. See, when you read it as nothing physical, emotional, intellectual can restrain the self, what it means is nothing physical, emotional, intellectual can restrain you or me. We are today restrained because of our stupidity. We are controlled by these things because we are not really thinking. And therefore we get attached and we get controlled by it. It's such a madness. Allowing, see, a human being is supposed to be a thinking person, but controlled by the object which has no brains. Isn't it? You look at the gold, diamond and all that, does it have brains? But it controls you. Land controls you. Wealth, which is insentient, controlling the sentient being. Isn't it madness? When you go to the zoo, you see the, you know, animals are being controlled by the human beings. Because animals don't have the intellect. Human beings have the intellect. Here, the sense objects, which has no buddhi, no thinking capacity, insentient they are per se, controlling the human being, sentient beings, who has the capacity to think. It's madness. And then, so again, the sixth, you know, 866th nama, it is either yamaha or ayamaha. Yama means again the restrainer. Ayamaha means deathless. One is beyond death. Yama, ayama. One on whom yama has no control. Ayamaha. Ayamaha means one who has no control. Yama has no control on him. Means he is deathless. And yama means he is the one who controls, restrains everything and directs. See, when we read these things, we can look at it from the absolute angle or relative angle. That is what this is beautifully constructed in such a way that if you interpret it this way, it talks about it from the absolute point of view. If you interpret it from this way, it talks from the relative angle. For example, this Nama 866, when you say Ayamaha, it's talking about the self which cannot be controlled by anything, because it is beyond all, it is deathless, it is immortal. When you talk about the same as Yamaha, means it is that which controls everything. The moment you say it is that which controls everything, we are talking about it as Ishvara. So the Ishvara is both the controller of this universe, not controlled by this universe, he is deathless, he is immortal. That's what it means. Next shloka. Sattva vansatvika satyah, sattva vansatvika satyah, satya dharma parayanah, satya dharma parayanah, abhipraya priyarhorhah, abhipraya priyarhorhah, priyakrit priti vardhanah, priyakrit priti vardhanah, Sattvavan sattvika satyaha satya dharma parayanaha abhipraya priyarhaha priyakrit priti vardhanaha. Sattvavan, possessed of sattva. One who is full of strength and courage, sattva. The sattva. And talk about the sattva, the essence, the real strength. The real strength possessed of sattva, courage, strength, etc. See, a sattvic person is not perturbed by anything that is happening around him or her. Because of the inner strength. So sattva means that strength. The inner strength that comes from the self, from the truth, from reality. So that's what sattvavan means, one who possesses the strength. Sattva, courage. One who is full of exploits and courage. Supremely adventurous, daring and heroic is Narayana, as witnessed in all his actions during all his incarnations. See, what it means is, what is real strength? Can anybody, instead of me telling, let me ask you. Where does the real strength lies? What is real strength? Anyone?
It's yourself only.
No, that is okay, but what is real strength?
When you're not dependent on anything.
Absolutely. 100% correct. The real strength is when you are totally independent. The moment you depend on somebody, you're gone. You're gone. Now the countries, they can think, do research and develop things on their own. They are not dependent on the other countries. They are strong. The moment you become dependent, you are weak. So, Brahman is independent of this world. Therefore, he is full of exploitation. And exploitation is then full of exploits. Means he is freely playing. The moment you depend, you are gone. You are in business. You create product which is the best. You don't have to depend on anybody. People will have to come to you. Otherwise, you have to compromise somewhere down the line. So, sattvavan freely moves about, adventurous, daring. Daringness comes in you the moment you lose all dependence. If there is a condition, you cannot be free. See, I've given these two examples in different contexts when I talk about liberation. You know, take for example, a person who is not enjoying the job, but is continuing in the job. Not only he is not enjoying, but the boss is also very insulting. Abusive languages and all that. But this fellow is not resigning. Why? Because he is getting some fat salary. Comfort zone is there. If he leaves the job, he may become free. But he will be in difficulty. So he has to choose between difficulty and slavery. So he chooses slavery. Similarly, somebody is in a bad marriage, abusive marriage, but self-aware, you know, protection, the name of some money you are getting, some perks you are getting, whatever, maybe you continue. Because the moment you become free, you will have to face the challenges, difficulties. Freedom comes with challenges. Bondage comes with comfort. You always choose bondage. Think about it. A lot of us don't understand what is bondage. We don't understand that. You know, you go to buy, very interesting. They say, very little interest, 0% interest, this thing, that thing. But on a kya they have, somehow they'll make you buy, even if you went there to buy with money, they'll say, don't give us full money. You buy, you will get 10% discount. If you pay full money, no discount. But if you pay in EMI, 5% discount, 10% discount. There are schemes like this. Are they fools to have such schemes? But we also get enamored to save that 10%. People get caught in the trap. This is what is going on. You go and find out. So then what happens is, as long as your EMI is going on properly, no problem. Something like that, there will be some clause. 1 or 2 months you miss your this thing, then the interest which goes more than this 10%. That's how these fellows make money. This is just incredible. So, what I'm trying to say is, you are really strong when you are independent. The moment you become dependent, at any level, whether it's material level, physical level, emotional level, intellectual level, some you don't do original thinking, you are dependent on the interpreters. You have to sit and think. The moment you become dependent, your life will be miserable. You are strong, you are answerable to none, and you are a thinker. You are an independent person. So that's why we have to develop this quality in us to be self-sufficient, independent in every way. Most of the houses, outside you say, she is the boss, he is the boss, and this person is working for them, a cook or maid or something. But when you go deeply, the cook and the maid are the boss. These are slaves. Because if the cook goes, the maid goes, they don't know how to maintain the house. They're dependent on them. To get another person is another big headache. You become dependent. So when you are independent, that is the strength. The real strength is independence. Sattva vahi. Then sattvikaha, one who is full of sattvic qualities. You know, sattvikaha means one who is full of sattvic qualities. Composure, serene. And such a person's company also makes you sattvic. So when you are, you know, with sattvic people, you also become sattvic. Or the sattva in you comes out. They are helpful for the satya to come out. So that is Vishnu, sattvika. Then satyaha. Vishnu is the truth. Brahman is the truth. Truth is that which remains the same in the past, present and future. It never changes. That which is constant, both past, present and future, in all these times. That is beyond change. That is satya. Satya always exists, whether you perceive or not. Mithya never exists, even though you may be perceiving it. So that is that, satya. Satya dharma parayana. One who is the very abode of truth and righteousness. Satya dharma parayanaha. So it means ever devoted to truthfulness and righteousness. Vishnu only sees if you are truthful and you are righteous. Vishnu never sees whether you have this much bank account, whether you did this much puja, how many times in a day you're doing prayer. Even if you do prayer once in a day or once in a month, are you doing it with full power? Are you truthful to the core, to the essence? Are you righteous? So, satya dharma parayanaha. Abhiprayaha. Abhiprayaha means the one who is sought after. Whoever seeks the four goals of life, artha, kama, dharma, moksha, he seeks Brahman, because Brahman is capable of giving all these four. You go to certain devatas, you may get only few things. You go to Kuber, maybe you'll get wealth. But if you go to Brahman, you'll get all the four goals, artha, kama, dharma, moksha. You may not want artha, kama, dharma, but if you go to Brahman, you will get all. Abhipraya, the one who is sought after. Priyarhaha. Priyarha means worthy to receive loved things. The Vedas talk about, scriptures talk about the fact that what you love, you should offer it to the Lord. What it means is to rise above the desires. What you love is pleasing your ego. So you should be ready to sacrifice your ego. That's what it means. You want to sacrifice what you love. Worthy to receive loved things. So whom will you give the loved things to? To the Lord. That is the beauty of this festivals and all that. During these festivals, the things that we love, we offer it to the Lord. Basically offering of the ego. All this is offering of the ego. The self-pleasing tendencies. You know, all the time we are only interested in pleasing ourselves. So letting go of ego. So priyarharkaha means you are sacrificing what you love to the Lord. And who is worthy of it? The Lord. By taking that, he gives you more. But when you give, you don't have that attitude. I must get more. You're not thinking like that. But whenever you offer, you actually get more. Sudama gave just 3 handfuls of beaten rice. You got a lot more. So it's the way to gain anything in life is to lose it. Harhaha, deserving worship. Who deserves worship? One who has given up everything. He deserves worship. Lord Shiva is called as Aniketa. Aniketa means one who has no house, no home. Nothing in his possession. Absolute renunciate. And Lord is the 100% renunciate. He deserves worship. So how do you worship him? Through words, by offering him the seat, by praising him, offering him water, milk, whatever. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Yo me bhaktya prayachat. This is chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita. And worship him through water, flower, whatever, doesn't matter. Padaham bhakti pahatam. He says, you should do it with devotion. That's what matters. Everything else doesn't matter. So who is worthy of worship? Not Narayana. We are worshipping all the other things. The material stuff. He's saying, yes sir, no sir, 3 bags full sir. To people who have powers, that is also for temporary time. All this we are doing because we are also ego worshippers. Priyakrit. He fulfills our wishes. That's what Priyakrit means. The doer of pleasing things. When you offer what you love to him, he fulfills your desires. So the way to fulfill your desire is by offering your object of desires to him. You rise above it and function. You will get everything. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and it shall be given. This is wrongly misinterpreted. Knock and it shall be opened means knock the doors of the God. The worldly doors will be opened to you. Seek and it shall be given means seek the Lord. The world will be given to you. Here, knock means you are going and knocking the doors of the world. Seek means you are seeking material things. It's the wrong way of understanding. Preeti Vardhanaha. The increaser of joy. Preeti Vardhanaha means he increases our joy. That's what Preeti Vardhanaha means. The increaser of happiness. When you surrender your ego, the self within, the bliss from within, you start experiencing. You start experiencing more permanent bliss. That's what it means. Preeti Vardhanaha means. It's not that from 5% your joy will increase. You've been experiencing the joy of divinity temporarily here and there when you were running after the desires. Now when you give up your desires and run after them, that means the divinity, you focus on the divinity and function in life. The happiness in you keeps multiplying, keeps growing. So he says, Preeti Vardhanaha, one who increases the joy. Let's conclude. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Ayena Vacha
Ayena Vacha
Manasendriyairva
Indriyairva
Buddhyasmanaha Prakrite Svabhavat Karomi adhyat sakalam parasmai narayana yeti samarpayam. Hari Om.